The Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129 presents Sounds from the Spires with Dr. Jennifer Pasquale, Music Director of St. Patrick's Cathedral.
Hello and welcome to Sounds from the Spires. This is Dr. Jennifer Pasquale and you're listening to the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. And we have two very special guests today in Massachusetts. We have Dr. Jim Jordan and Sister Chris, who are with Gloria Dei Cantores, and they're wonderful folks. And there's a big award that was just given to Gloria Dei Cantores. Elizabeth Patterson and the Gloria Dei Cantores won the American Prize Ernst Bacon Memorial Award, celebrating American excellence in the arts. They were the winner. And so we are here to talk to folks from the Gloria Dei Cantores to talk all about this award, because I actually have never heard of this award before. So good morning or good afternoon, wherever you're listening from, to Dr. Jim and Sister Chris. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
We're glad to be here and thrilled to be able to talk about this with you, Jenny. Thank you.
Yeah, it's really exciting. So I'm grateful to Kirsty for connecting us, and she's always great about connecting for whatever wonderful awards and performances are coming up. So thanks to Kirsty Pfeiffer. But we have with us Dr. Jim and Sister Chris with us today. So how long have you both been with Gloria Dei Cantores, first of all, both of you?
Oh, gosh. Well, we're both laughing because we've both been with the choir since it became Gloria Dei Cantores.
Okay.
Absolutely. Founding members.
Founding members. Wonderful. Yes, you're the pillars, the founding members. And we can't assume that, you know, I've had you guys on the show so many times already, but we can't assume the same people listen from time to time. So tell us all about Gloria Dei Cantores and how it formed, what the mission is of the organization, of the choir.
Well, it actually began with that name in 1988. Sister Chris and I were just talking about the fact that we were at the dinner at the Arundel House Hotel in Cambridge, England, when the choir took on that name.
Huh.
And the Gloria Dei Cantores really does say it, because it singers to the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that does, in effect, give you the mission statement of the choir.
Right.
And that, because the point is to bring choral music to people of all periods, of all times, and all places, that carries the greatest degree of truth that we can find, that we believe was inspired by God. And oftentimes we find things that have gone dormant.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that our director, Elizabeth Patterson, has had an incredible passion for, is to help bring back out into light those pieces which carry this kind of message that just aren't performed now in many cases.
Uh-huh.
The exciting passion that she had and the inspiration that she gave us as singers, we can never be grateful enough for.
Mm-hmm.
It was a God-given passion and a pursuit of beauty and truth, because she knew that beauty and truth brought God to people without us even preaching, no one saying his name.
Right.
Through the beauty of the music, which she knew was divinely inspired.
And of course, she put great feet to that, because the choir goes through the Royal College of Church Music Theory series. They take sight singing courses. So there's a lot of technical work that's putting legs on all of that spiritual vision.
Right.
Wow. Now, Sister Chris, are you a singer as well?
Yes, I am. Uh-huh. I'm a soprano in the choir.
Soprano.
And we started, actually, as a small church choir.
Uh-huh.
And Elizabeth Patterson, through many exciting paths, actually had a friend, Craig Timberlake, Dr. Craig Timberlake, who was a professor at Columbia University.
Uh-huh.
And he was a friend of hers. And he had a great, a similar passion for these sacred choral pieces that perhaps had not been performed or recorded. And he just brought gem after gem to her attention. Uh-huh. And we had the wonderful privilege of being able to study these pieces in depth and to perform them.
That's the other great thing that came with Craig Timberlake is that as we were moving forward as a choir, we needed to improve vocally.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was really, along with Elizabeth, obviously has talked with us much about this, but she started bringing in, for our sake, people who could teach us very specifically about the voice.
Right.
And so he was at the beginnings of everybody in the choir actually taking private voice lessons as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
So all of that adding up to be able to, well, you know this story. David Craighead, from Eastman used to say, we practice to get ourselves out of the way.
That's right.
And, that's exactly the point. We do all these things to get ourselves out of the way so that we're vessels so that the music can speak.
Exactly. You don't want to get buried in the notes when you want to interpret and communicate with people.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Dr. Jim is, he and I are both ESM, Eastman School of Music alumni, and so we have that in common. And yes, both organists.
Okay, so
yeah, and
okay,
Sister Chris.
So both organists.
Yes, yes, we're both organists. So, all that practice, obsessive practice, obsessive compulsive practice, yeah. And you get that out of the way and then you do the music. And Sister Chris, you are you what order are you in?
I am a religious sister at the Community of Jesus.
Okay, Community
it's
of
an
Jesus.
Ecumenical Benedictine order.
Uh-huh.
And grew up singing in a church choir my whole growing up years. My dad was the conductor
Runs
for one of the local churches in Cleveland, Ohio.
Uh-huh.
And anyway, it was just a natural fit when I became a sister and was able to join this wonderful choir, that was, I would say, the biggest joy in my life, being a part of that.
Yeah. And so the Gloria Dei Cantores has been around for how many years now?
Well, we founded in that at that name of 1988. So we're 2019, so 41. I'm sorry, I can't do the math.
That's for organists, that's why.
That's ridiculous, but I'm thinking, I know the year, but I can't tell you the number.
That's funny because I graduated from high school that year, and I don't know how many years that is from now. But anyway, Gloria Dei Cantores has been around a long time, and they have been all over the world performing everywhere in great venues and sacred spaces and concert halls. But the principal reason why we're here today is because they won the American Prize Ernst Bacon Memorial Award. And so, Jim or Sister Chris, tell us about this award. I had never heard of it before, and it sounds fabulous.
Well, I hadn't either. And I've reached it. It's very interesting because a lot of these things are out there, and you don't know about them until you start looking into this specific type of thing.
Huh.
And I thought, well, this is absolutely fascinating because it's a fairly large award in the sense of multiple divisions giving these kinds of prizes to various categories that are supportive of the American voice in music, whether it be choral, instrumental, professional, community,
solo work.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really quite fascinating, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And, can we all wander back in our music history, Bacon was a contemporary of Howard Hanson, Aaron Copland,
uh-huh.
Of that school, and was a great promoter of the American voice in music. So that's what this prize recognizes, is excellence in that arena.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. And
it's really quite something because, so we submitted works by Bruce Neswick, Ned Borum, and Sam Adler. Mm-hmm. Now, there's some difference between those composers.
Sure, of course.
and so it was interesting going back and listening through these works to hear this astounding variety within the pieces, and yet, and I would say even be mostly between Roram and Adler, there are some real similarities, and there's such an effort toward finding the beauty and kind of a rich neo-romantic line that still reflects Americana in its best sense of the word.
Mm-hmm.
The color of the writing, the instrumentation, and certainly Bruce's, we all know Bruce, and that work of his is so astounding and so much out there, as it were, today in the church world.
Right.
So it's just thrilling to see something like this come to pass, because we've been working for years in an effort to get these pieces known through both recording and, in some cases, Paraclete Press now publishes these works because they had long since been out of print by any publishing house at all.
Great, good to know.
And so we picked up, the rights on them so that they could come back again into the daylight.
Yeah, I was thinking, isn't that particular the case with the Loeffler By the Waters of Babylon? Wasn't that out of print?
That was completely out of print. Of course, Bruce's piece wasn't out of print, but came to us as an original work. And we do a number of Sam's pieces as well. But it really has been, like I said, an amazing journey. Along with Craig Timberlake, actually inspired us so much with it, we began an early American series called American Harmony.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, a number of these pieces were long since out of print. And what you see that were submitted of Neswick, Roram, and Adler is but a taste of what Gloria Day actually does within the American music scene.
Sure. Let's take a moment now to listen to one of the pieces. And Kirsty was kind enough to send me all these files, and she included three psalm settings by Sam Adler. And so we'll take a listen to Psalm 84.
My heart and my flesh, save for
Okay, we just listened to Sam Adler's Psalm 84, performed by the Gloria Dei Cantores under the direction of Elizabeth Patterson. And today we have with us again Dr. Jim Jordan and Sister Chris with us, and honored to be here to talk to them and about their wonderful, rich history and the award they just won. And so we're talking about Americana. And so Jim and Sister Chris, have you done an entire program in concert of all American music?
Wow, that's an interesting question.
I'm dragging back through the annals of my mind at the moment. I don't recall that we've ever done completely.
Uh-huh.
We did do a premiere. Mark O'Connor wrote his folk mass for us.
Uh-huh.
You know, the great American fiddler.
Yes, yes.
Which we did premiere at St. Thomas in New York a number of years ago, and gave another premiere here on Cape as well. But I don't ever recall doing a single program of all American music. We've taken a lot of American music and program to Europe, however.
Right.
Because we think it's unknown here, it's really unknown over there.
Yes, that's right. There were always American pieces that were included in the early programming.
And it was fascinating to see the response, particularly of the Russian people and of the Italian people, to American pieces. They just simply loved them.
I've noticed, in traveling myself, they love when we do American music, whether you're an instrumentalist or a choir or whatnot. So that's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Well, you do that on your programming all the time. You know what that's like.
Oh, yeah. They are appreciative when you try their own, but they love it when you bring your own to them. So it's great that you do that.
Well, that, but it ties so directly back into the mission of the choir, which is to bring this kind of unity and reconciliation between peoples. And you and I, on Sister Chris, all know full well music has such an incredible ability to slip under the door, as it were, of other kinds of walls we may have up between each other. And I think this is one of the reasons it's such a joy to take American music other places, because it does the same thing. It slips right under.
Right.
In the early days of the choir's tour, we would bring this music to them, and that was part of our early mission, because all people knew about American music was what they were getting on MTV. So to bring something of culture and refinement and the similar language of sacred music, the Psalms, everyone can relate to that music. And it was so exciting in those early days to take these things to those countries and see the response, and to realize that we are really, we all are touched by the same things, and that is truth and beauty.
That's right.
And just on that note, our first series of concerts going into Europe, Elizabeth actually did call a gateway concert series, because the intention really was to open the door.
Right. Dr. Jim and Sister Chris, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back in 2 minutes, and we'll continue talking to you about the great music of Gloria Dei Cantores. You're listening to Sounds from the Spires on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
intentions, who have bad news, who have wounds without cause, who have redness of arms. They that stand on at the wall, they that go to seek me swan. Look not thou up on the wall,
you just listened to Ned Roram's psalm, and this is two psalms and a proverb, and this is Wounds. And tell us about this two psalms and a proverb Wounds movement, Dr. Jim or Sister Chris.
Well, these pieces, just to give you a slight bit of history, were actually premiered in 1963. These were this Wounds Without Cause is a part of a set of two psalms and a proverb that actual Daniel Pinkham received a grant, and with the grant, he commissioned Ned Roram to write the pieces.
Oh.
It's quite fascinating, and so you have such monumental figures of American music at that time working together. This middle movement, Wounds Without Cause, you know, it's with string quintet, mm-hmm. as well as SATB choir, and he just uses the strings, and I hate the term in a way, magical, but it's so coloristically perfect for what he's trying to do, because there's almost a sting of violence in some of this,
right.
as he quotes, from Proverbs, who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath contentions, and who hath babbling. You get this harmonically from the choir, while you get it coloristically, both harmonically, but also in just the type of idiomatic string writing that
there is.
It's such a variety of contrasts, and when you get into the various sections over there dealing with this, what they that tarry long at the wine and that go with mixed wine, you hear all of this in the string writing, and then the conversation going back and forth between the men and the women, the SATB writing, I think it's actually Roram at his best in this choral writing.
That's right. Yeah, and you can hear the nails forcing into to make the wounds, and you can hear that in the writing. It's really, really great.
Yeah, it's quite astounding.
Yeah. And so it comes, two psalms and a proverb, it comes as a set. Do you publish it as a set or as three different pieces?
Well, these are actually E.C. Shermer publications, and they are separate octavos.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah, so you 1 and 3 are both the psalms, and then this Wounds Without Cause is the proverbs movement.
Uh-huh.
But you've got to have a string quintet that's on its metal, because not only for intonation, but for what's required in terms of their interpretation,
uh-huh.
It's just as hair-raising as the choir.
Wow.
Every bit as much. And which is nice to see, because if you think about how much American music was written in the last century for string ensemble, there's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But what's wonderful is to have that quality of writing married with the choral writing here.
Yes.
Because, of course, Roram wrote such terrific solo works that you hear all of that beautiful vocal color in this choral music.
The vocal line is incredible. The whole set, all three of them, it's absolutely beautiful. I remember what a joy it was to learn them and to sing them and get them ready for that recording.
Yeah. We'll listen to another one right now. This is two Psalms and a Proverb, and this is Behold. And you just listened to Ned Roram's Two Psalms and a Proverb, and this was the Behold section. And wonderful music. We're talking about Americana today. We have with us Dr. Jim Jordan and Sister Chris from Gloria Dei Cantoris, and they just won a wonderful award, the American Prize Ernst Bacon Memorial Award with Elizabeth Patterson. And we're talking about Americana today. And you mentioned several minutes ago the Cape. And tell folks who are listening what the Cape is and the wonderful things that happen there.
Well, actually, when I say the Cape, I'm referring to Cape Cod.
Oh!
in Massachusetts. Uh-huh. And, of course, Gloria Dei Cantoris is the choir at the Community of Jesus.
Right, right.
An ecumenical Benedictine community on Cape Cod.
Yes.
And we actually do a great number of performances through the year here as well as doing recording work here.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we have the church that we do, it's a great joy to get to do it here. For a number of years prior to that, we recorded other places. And in fact, one of the recordings that you have there, Jenny, The Lord is My Shepherd, which features a couple of these works, is actually the very first recording that Gloria Dei did in our new church.
Ah, wow.
By the Rivers of Babylon was recorded at the Methuen Organ Hall.
Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with that hall,
too.
Yeah,
that's a which is a marvelous place as well. So sure. If you're ever on Cape Cod, and we do wish you'd get up here.
I know. I still have yet to be there.
I know. And we all say, you know, you have to calculate to get out here. Nobody just stumbles onto Cape Cod. But we would love to have people out to hear the choir.
Right.
That'd be wonderful.
Oh, go ahead. When's your next concert?
You know, actually, I don't have that calendar in front of me, but you could go on the website.
Okay. GDCchoir.org. That's GDC.
And that, actually, I think the next program we have like that is would be Advent Lessons and Carols coming up, which is the first weekend of Advent.
Yeah.
If that's November 30th or
yeah, it's whatever. Immediately this year, immediately after Thanksgiving.
That's right. It's early this year. Yeah, it's wonderful, and you do such marvelous things there. I think about what you just said. You have that church and your space, and it's almost like the opposite of St. Patrick's Cathedral, where everything in the world happens at St. Patrick's, and we don't have the luxury of rehearsing in there or anything, and people who do performances in there and just have to go in there and do it. But you have this marvelous space that I hope to see sometime soon.
I hope you can come up.
Yeah, you do all these recordings and these wonderful performances there. So I really do want to get there sometime and see it.
Yes, we also do Gregorian chant. We do the offices through the day.
Yes, yes.
And those are open for anyone to join. We do that in the traditional Latin.
Wow.
And unaccompanied Gregorian chant. So that's also a wonderful thing. We'd love you to come and join and hear us.
What's the organ out there?
Well, now, how long have you got?
Well, not too long. And Cliff Notes.
Well, you know, that Nelson Barden, who's the organ restorer in residence at Boston University, is the one who has been working with us now for 26 years in the restoration and expansion of E.M. Skinner's work into our church. And actually, we are really closing in on completion, thank heavens, because we've been at it now for as long as we have. But it's such a unique installation because the chambers surround the church. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the chambers are 100 feet long and 12 feet deep on either side of the church. And so you have an amazing sense of being inside the organ. And that's the point, is to make the entire building sing. But everything in the instrument dates from 1901 to 1953, and Nelson has done beyond visionary work at getting that organ to come to life in a way that, of course, it never existed before. And at this point, even right down to the chests, we've done a new provenance list so that we know where everything comes from. And we're up to about 54 instruments. Now, mind you, that's not complete, but it's a rank here and, you know, a chest there. And it's really quite amazing. And you would love to come up and hear it.
Oh, sure.
It's so exciting to hear at concerts. I'll sit in the back and literally the whole building sings. And you see people's heads turn as they realize the sound is coming from either the left or the right or from the front or the back. And it's surround sound. It truly is.
Sure. Yeah, another reason for me to get up there and listen to the organ.
You got it.
Yeah. We're talking with Dr. Jim and Sister Chris with Gloria de Cantores and Paraclete Press. And we'll be back in a couple of minutes to continue talking to both of them and talking more about Americana and the wonderful American First Prize Ernst Bacon Memorial Award that Gloria de Cantores was just honored with. You're listening to Sounds from the Spires on the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. And you just listened to Psalm 113 of Sam Adler, and we're talking with Dr. Jim Jordan and Sister Chris from Gloria Dei Cantores, and the wonderful award they won, the American Prize, Ernst Bacon Memorial Award. And you all have traveled all over the world and have some wonderful tours under your belt. Where do you go next?
The places we're looking at heading next will likely be a symposium connection sometime in the spring. I'm not exactly sure of the dates yet.
Uh-huh.
So that's the one that is currently planned, where we'll be going over to Italy for some portion.
I think
it may be in April.
Uh-huh.
Other than that, I don't know.
Yeah. And do you have any reports? Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say that we did so much travel in the early years, but now that we have this beautiful church, we're at home more because it is such a wonderful venue for sacred music concerts of all sorts. But as Jim was saying, that doesn't mean that we don't go out. It's
right.
Just not with the same
frequency
that we're
used to. Yeah. But you still do a number of recordings. Do you have any projects lined up?
Oh, yeah. We've been working on the music of Arvo Pärt, which has been an incredible joy. But I must say, it is intense. That man's music is absolutely incredible.
Wow.
In terms of depth and what it requires internally of the singers and instrumentalists is absolutely amazing. It's been such a privilege to get to know that man's music. I mean, I knew of it and had studied some, but never to this degree. And then also the Latvian composer Erik Essenvald. I forget how old he's not. He's not as old as I am, that's for sure. I think he's mid-30s.
I think
36. And again, such a fresh and really quite moving's too cheap a word, Jenny. he speaks with a passion not common to that age, as far as I can see.
Yeah.
And there's a certain amount of what I would almost. One of the works we've done of his is called In Paradisum, where he's done a setting of that text where really the viola and the cello are the two, in a way, the characters of he and his grandmother talking with the choir in as almost a background canvas.
Mm-hmm.
And when we opened this the first time, I thought, oh, my. And when we finished recording it, I mean, we were just
one
left
of the most
speechless.
Moving experiences we've ever had.
It really, really was. I don't know how well he's known in the U.S., but if he's not, he will be.
Yeah, I'm looking at your website now, and you have a picture of both of them. Arvo Pärt, the world's most performed living classical composer, and Erik Essenvalds. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
That's correct, yep.
One of the most sought-after composers living today. Yeah, that's exciting. I you know, we know the, at least know the organ music of Arvo Pärt and have heard
Absolutely.
Some choral music, but Erik's, I'm not. So, interested to hear that. Yeah. So when did those recordings come out?
You know, I don't know if a release date has been set on the Pärt recording yet. I'm not certain of it. And Essenvalds, we've got a few more things, I believe, that we're going to be recording before that one's completed as an actual disc.
Right. How often do you all rehearse?
Every day.
Every day. Wow.
Yes, we rehearse every day in some form or another. In other words, sometimes we meet as a full group. Other times we meet in quartets, octets for finer tuning work.
Right now we actually have, this summer we had a solo vocal intensive for about 6 weeks with a man by the name of Andrew Nolan, who came over. He's worked with us here before in terms of coming and singing solos, but this time was a first where he had intensive voice lessons. And so part of our weekly rehearsal right now is a couple of days a week where we're working on solo voice material as well.
Yes.
Because it's really a matter of us developing individually as well as chorally, and then bringing that to the table, as it were, in the choir.
It's wonderful. And so do you sing 12 months out of the year, the Gloria Dei Cantores, or do they take time off? And they sing for all the hours every day, and for mass, for liturgy every Sunday, or liturgy every day?
The liturgies that are done during the week, the Gregorian chant is sung by members of the entire community. That is not just the choir. So the whole community is involved in that form of choral prayer. The choir takes times during the year when they are not singing, in which case we would perhaps have a month, 2 month period when we are not doing even song, and then there would be Gregorian Vespers.
Yes,
that would we'd be singing instead. But we sing the Eucharist every Sunday, and then, as I said, the even song at certain times of the year, and that's always posted on the community's website.
Yes. And it's not that we do it exactly the same way every year. For instance, we had chant masses while we were taking the voice lessons so that we could focus there. So there's always a bit of give and take with what the various needs are.
Right. It's gdcchoir.org. Go on to their website, Gloria Dei Cantores. We've been speaking with Dr. Jim Jordan and Sister Chris. I really wish we had more time because you all do such wonderful stuff. And
well, Jenny, can I give you the website for the recordings?
Yes.
It's GDC, it's GDCRecordings.com.
Okay, GDCRecordings.com. So if you like what you listened to today, go there, GDCRecordings.com, and they have tons of recordings, the Rachmaninoff, Marian music, etc. So go there. But it's been quite an honor having Dr. Jim and Sister Chris with us. We'll finish out by listening to Bruce Neswick's I will set his dominion in the sea, and wonderful rousing organ and choir work, great playing. And I hope to have you both on again, especially when that Pärt and Essenvalds those CDs come out. Definitely we'll have you both on again.
That'd be wonderful.
We would love to. It's such fun to get to talk with you, Jenny.
Likewise. And I know you're so busy, you're trying to catch a bus or a train. So thank you, Dr. Jim, and thank you, Sister Chris, and thank you to Jackie and Scott. And stay tuned next week for Sounds from the Spires on the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. Have a great week, everybody. and that's it. So thank you, Dr. Jim and Sister.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Don't even worry about it. It worked out perfectly. This is great.
Yeah, so I'm so sorry about that, but they'll insert the music where I will tell them, and then it'll all work out.
That's absolutely
that's living
fine.
On the edge.
Oh, boy.
I know.
We understand that
We one. Understand that one. So, anyway, take care. Thanks again.
All right. Thank you both, and travel safe.
Okay. See you later.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.